Good afternoon. I'd like to start with an apology for starting a little bit late, but I think it's worth it that we've given time for everyone to gather and for us to get the computer to turn on and stuff. Very briefly, my name's Ken Udis. I'm with the Penn State World Campus, and what I'd like to do is just set the stage just a bit. First, I'd like to thank and welcome everyone who's here, and I'd also like to thank everyone, and there were a number of people who did sort of send their regrets and said that they would very much like to have been here, but couldn't. And, you know, basically I said, well, that's fine, we'll be able to have additional people come and join us. So anyway, I guess that really what I want to do is just thank everyone here. I also want to have special thanks to Nancy Thomas, who did a lot of the communication and sent out invitations and so on and managed all of that. She's not here right now. And then three folks who volunteered and have been helping us out all along and have been working on the technology end and also with the speakers. I'd like to thank Juan, who's helping out with the with podcasting and recording this, which is, and oh, Carl, of course, but... Of course, Carl. But Juan's wearing the things. And I'd also like to thank two other folks who have volunteered to help out. I'd like to thank Kelly and Chrissy. And Kelly and Chrissy are also with the World Campus and their program assistants over at BP&M. Juan is once again with ID&D. So what we'll do is I'll just explain what the format's going to be. And then what we'll do is have Kelly and Chrissy again introduce our, provide a little background on our two major presenters. And then I'll also take a little bit of time and just introduce two folks who really probably don't have to be introduced. They're with Penn State. What we're going to do is Wayne McIntosh and Eric Feinblatt are going to provide presentations on what they're involved with, what they've been doing, what their organizations do. And then after that, we'll take a very short break. And then Michael Moore and Michael Adwami have agreed to help provide just a touch of focused discussion and draw upon their background and provide us a little bit of direction, a little bit of focus. Then we'll open this up to a general discussion, questions, response, debate, whatever the case may be. So I guess I would like to start by having Kelly do a quick introduction, and then Chrissy can come up and do and introduce Eric.
I'm fortunate enough to be introducing Wayne McIntosh. Wayne is a committed advocate and user of free software for education. He was the founding project leader of New Zealand's e-learning XHTML editor project and is responsible for establishing the Commonwealth of Learning Wiki Educator, a website that provides free e-learning content that anyone can edit and use. He joined the Commonwealth of Learning as an education specialist in May 2006. Formerly, he was associate professor and founding director of the Center for Flexible and Distance Learning at the University of Auckland and New Zealand. He has done so many things that I can't express all of them now, but he will be telling me much more about it shortly. Thank you.
Great. And I get to introduce Eric. Eric Feinblatt has been the coordinator for the Fashion Institute of Technology Center for Excellence in Teaching since its inception in 2002. He's also responsible for the faculty and instructional development at the college where he works. Also, he was the, my favorite part, is that he was the photographer for Vogue for many years. No, you didn't say that. Eric, most recently, in the summer of 2006, participated in the Collaborative Theater for Development project in Lesotho, Africa, that addressed issues of gossip, silence, and HIV and AIDS.
Thank you very much. We'd like to welcome Wayne.
Thanks very much, Ken. I should start off by saying it's really quite an honor and a privilege to be here at Penn State University, because I kind of had a long indirect association with the institution. I'm a distance educator by training. I've spent most of my professional academic career in distance education. And PSU, of course, is kind of this hub of theoretical foundations, and much of my thinking has been informed by Professor Michael Moore and folk like Gary Miller. So it's really great to be able to be here on campus and visit it for the first time. I should also admit, even though Michael has had a great influence on much of my thinking, he takes absolutely no responsibility whatsoever for some of the things I'm going to be saying here. I should point out I am an advocate of the free software movement. I personally do not use any non-free software. And the reason for this is I believe it's unethical to use a proprietary software based on the grounds of, being involved with a very material moral dilemma. And as an educator, I like to share what I do. And if I have programs and software which I would like to share with my friends and my neighbors, because I work in development, I want to be able to do that and avoid this moral dilemma of transgressing copyright. So these are the reasons why I do what I do. And we'll have a look at some of these aspects as we move forward. Given that I am a free software user, I should also mention that if you do suffer from hypertension, this presentation is best taken under parental guidance. So I make the apology in advance. And I'd like to share some thoughts and ideas of some of the things that I've been doing and that we've been doing at the Commonwealth of Learning. Relating to this topic. I mean, Ken said I should talk about big ideas, I believe ideas want to be free, I'll take you through one or two of these dimensions. The main idea, or the central tenet of what I want to talk about is I believe that education is a common good. And I think that if we collectively as educators across the planet can work collaboratively together on the development of content, we can make a real difference to widening access to knowledge and education. And, the bottom line is, if we give a little of our knowledge away, we're still going to have it for ourselves to use. And this has informed a lot of the work that we're doing in this area. A strategic objective that we are following in the freedom culture and the freedom culture movement and those of us working in education in this area is simply this. By 2015, we want a free version of the entire education curriculum available for use, adaptation, and modification. And this is what we are working towards. And I should also just state at the onset, we are not attempting to replace closed curriculum. This is not what we are doing. What we're wanting to do is to have a free alternative available. We also accept that there are motivated content producers, if you will, that produce both closed content and open content. And this is not a competition between the two, and I need to make that very, very clear right up front. And what I also need to make very, very clear is that quality is very important for both these groups. Our work in free content for education, we want the best quality materials that we can develop. So this is where we are aiming, or what we're aiming at, and we think it's achievable. I should mention that 22 years ago, there wasn't, or perhaps just a little bit longer, there wasn't such a thing as free software. And today we have all the software that we need to be able to do our work available as free alternatives. And I think you'd agree with me that coding a piece of software is somewhat more challenging than developing a bit of content, in the sense that the entry barriers to participation are far lower. So that's why we're targeting 2015. If we don't get it right, that's okay. We will just take a little bit longer. But at the end of the day, this is what we are going to achieve. A few things I just want to cover today and touch on. I just want to introduce the Commonwealth of Learning, who we are. We should not be confused with the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I want to speak just a little bit about why free content is important for our context. I work in the developing world, and why it's very, very important for us. I think it's also important, as a matter of interest, how many free software users are there in the audience? Okay. So, all right, so I'll spend a bit of time because there are a number of very interesting parallels between free software and what we mean by free content. So I think it's important to have a look at one or two of those aspects. I'll introduce you to just a few of the Commonwealth of Learning's projects that relate to free content. And as an advocate of the freedom movement, what I'm essentially here to do is to ask an open question. I would like to know how you can help us in achieving these aims.
Very, very quickly, Wayne, I don't know if you were going to go through this, but I just thought I'd mention, is there anyone here who uses, like, Firefox? Or are you going to go through this?
I wasn't intending to, but by all means,
go. Is there anyone who uses Firefox for a browser?
Yeah.
Okay. So does everyone who raised their hand uses open source or free software?
Interestingly as well, many of you may or may not be aware of the statistic, roughly 67 point whatever percent of the web pages that you surf on the internet are rendered with a piece of software called Apache. And the Apache web software is free software. So you use a bunch of free software that you may not even be aware of. We've all had experiences. Right, who is the Commonwealth of Learning? We are an international governmental organization that was set up by the Commonwealth heads of government almost 20 years ago. And our prime purpose and focus is to encourage the development and sharing of open learning and distance education knowledge, resources, and technologies. This is what we do. We work directly with ministries of education. In particular, our relationship is with the ministers of education in the 53 states of the Commonwealth. And our focus is predominantly in the developing societies, the developing regions of the world. And we're essentially just trying to do this, and that is to improve access to high-quality education throughout the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth of Learning is headed up by Sir John Daniel, who many of you may remember as the previous Vice-Chancellor of the British Open University, who then subsequently went on to become the Assistant Director General of Education. And he heads up the Commonwealth of Learning, and we do a bunch of interesting stuff. My own portfolio is in e-learning and ICT policy, and we have a number of education specialists that focus in different areas. So today I'm just going to be focusing on what we're doing around the e-learning and ICT policy stuff. So it's not all the work that we are doing at Colum, it's a very selected focus I'm talking about today. What is free content, and why should it be important for your university? Well, given that I was going to be checking in the U.S., I thought I'd pull out a U.S. statistic. And what this graphic shows is essentially the cost of tuition at public universities in the U.S. against the Consumer Price Index. And I'm sure you're well aware of this very interesting challenge. And I guess some of the challenges we are facing, because it's not only the U.S., I mean, the U.S. has one of the most sophisticated higher education systems on the planet. If these are the challenges that a very advanced education system is facing with a very, with a solid economy, you can imagine how big the problem is in the developing world. And the same, the value proposition of what we're doing with free content is simply this. You must remember our focus is in distance education at the Commonwealth of Learning. And very roughly, if you were to go and take the costs of developing high-quality distance education materials, you would see that roughly about 80% of the cost of that development is the faculty time that is spent in developing those resources. Of course, there's also all the instructional design and the student support issues, the multimedia design that goes into that. But that would more or less be the composition developing high-quality content. The value proposition with free content is simply this. Well, if we are able to split that up and share those development costs across many, many institutions, we should theoretically be able to reduce the cost of developing high-quality distance education materials. So that is the central value proposition that we are working with.